Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Dame Lillard drops a 37-footer in the grill of Paul George. In his grill. Don't lose sight of that. In his grill, okay? And I'm going to throw something else in Paul George's grill, Rob Parker. Paul George, and look, let me just get this out of the way. He's a human being. If he's happy in Oklahoma City,
this is so against what you've always said.
No.
This is unbelievable.
Hold on. Just listen to me. You don't even know where I'm going.
I do.
He enjoys the fishing, the community. That's fine. So he's happy there. That's good. In that sense, of course, you make the choice you want. I'm speaking strictly in basketball terms. Strictly from the standpoint of wanting to win a championship, of trying to win a championship, of putting yourself in the best position to win a championship. And I'm telling you, Rob Parker, Paul George made a mistake last summer when he signed to stay in Oklahoma City instead of joining LeBron James and his hometown Los Angeles Lakers. Don't even try to tell me I'm wrong.
Chris Broussard has never been more wrong since he said OKC was going to the Western Conference Final.
Stop
that
it.
Was a couple days ago. Or when he said that.
No,
be quiet.
Problem.
It's my time.
No, but
it's
my time. Argue my point.
It's my
Don't
time.
Argue the pick. Argue what I
it's
said
my
about.
Time.
Argue what I said about Paul George making a mistake.
How? What you're saying makes no sense. Just 2 days ago, you had him going to the Western Conference Finals. Now you're saying he made a total mistake. How, Chris? It doesn't add up. Let me give you my calculator. It makes no sense what you're saying now. You're doing a revisionist history. You're the same guys. All the LeBron fans who poo-pooed Paul George. We don't want him. We're glad he didn't come.
Who said that? When did I say
they all said
Paul George?
That, not you. They all said it. The fans.
Well, it's
after
about
After he spurned LeBron James and the Lakers. We didn't want him anyway. That's what they said. And now they have the nerve, after things went sour with OKC, to say, see, you should have come to L.A. And this way he wouldn't even have a playoff series. He could have just been out of the playoffs like LeBron. He didn't make a mistake. He's not in a toxic environment that's going to damage his basketball career. Like those guys, those young guys who were damaged this past year, being around the LeBron nonsense that went on, and the Magic Johnson, and the Jeannie Buss, and the Rob Pelinka, and all the other nonsense that went on in L.A. He didn't make a mistake. He's where he wants to be. He not only has a teammate that he likes, whether or not he played well or not, he likes it, and he gets the best barbecue in this country.
Are you done?
You're welcome,
Can
America.
Can we turn off the American music? That didn't even deserve the... What should I call that music? What is that?
It's Hail to the Chief.
Hail to the Chief. That didn't even deserve Hail to the Chief.
That was a good speech.
No, it wasn't.
It was a good
speech.
He had
passion.
It wasn't. You just made it worse with your barbecue statement.
What?
Because Oklahoma City's not known for barbecue.
Yes, it is.
Not Kansas more than City. Texas. Not
Kansas
more than
City.
Kansas City.
But they have barbecue.
Not more than St.
Skip
Louis.
Skip Bayless's family had a barbecue spot.
Stop it! Rob Parker, you are so wrong. First of all, you're wrong about his career being ruined. Was Kyrie Irving's career ruined when LeBron James went there? I think not. All Kyrie Irving did was get to play in the finals for 4 straight years. All Kyrie Irving did was get to be placed in the position to hit one of the greatest shots in NBA history. And Kyrie Irving realized that this year when he called LeBron and apologized.
That had nothing to do about that. That had nothing to do about that.
Then it ruined Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh's career.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, it did.
It got them two championships.
Chris Bosh is thought of as a frail player who was a fringe player after he joined LeBron. He's not thought of as the same player. Fringe players do not make the All-Star team.
Chris Bosh made the All-Star team every year with LeBron James. So stop it with the revisionist history. Chris Bosh is going to be a Hall of Famer largely because of the championships he won with LeBron James. He could have stayed in Toronto, put up his 22-10, and gotten pounced in the first round every year. But no, he is regarded now as a champion.
It didn't hurt Tracy McGrady. He got into the Hall of Fame.
Tracy McGrady was a heck of a lot better than Chris Bosh.
It didn't hurt Tracy McGrady.
He
didn't win Jack.
Because he was better than Bosh.
But he didn't win anything.
But you can't compare Tracy McGrady. Because Tracy McGrady was a top five player at one point.
And you know,
Chris
Bosh was one of those players who could have been if he would have stayed in his career.
He couldn't.
You don't know that, Chris.
Yeah, I do know it.
No, you don't.
I watch the game.
Guessing.
I don't just look at the box score.
You're guessing.
I watch his game. He wasn't a top five player.
You're Mr. Revisionist History. I'm so tired of the revisionist history.
What revisionist history?
Stop it.
Paul
George didn't make a mistake.
He did.
He did
He's
not.
He's sitting home right now.
Instead, he could have come to L.A. and be with an agent. Superstar is more interested in Hollywood than he is with winning anything.
Oh,
we saw that this year. He was
really?
A terrible leader. Yes.
How did we see that?
We saw that.
And you sitting here saying they wouldn't have made the playoffs. They
would have. No, they wouldn't have. When LeBron was here and they had a chance to win, look, they lost. They lost.
With Paul George, you're acting like you said if Paul George was here, they would have been better equipped to withstand the absence, the injury of LeBron. And George would have held down the fort, and then LeBron would have stepped in. The morale wouldn't have been crushed because there wouldn't have been the Anthony Davis talk. You got your second star. George and LeBron would have been terrific together. And they would not only have made the playoffs, they would still be playing right now. You're telling me Russell Westbrook is better to play with than LeBron James?
Chris,
you're the
one who picked with that roster.
Is that what you're telling me?
You're the one who picked 53 wins. LeBron was going to win the MVP. I could go on and on and on about all the stuff you had with the roster that LeBron had.
What's that got to do with this?
I'm just saying, you had already predicted all these great things for the Lakers without Paul George.
It would have been even greater with Paul George.
So you said 53 wins without Paul George. They were going to win 65? Is that what you're saying
they
now?
If Paul George was there, they're in the 50.
That.
You're just not following my logic.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
You said that LeBron didn't need him.
No,
he was gonna be
I never said that.
He was going to win the MVP in 53
that
wins.
That doesn't
to go to
mean
the,
I didn't predict him going and, to the and, finals. And I didn't predict him winning a championship.
You said all year, who are you afraid of in the Western Conference? Other than Golden State, who are you afraid of? That's
you're
all you
arguing,
kept saying.
See, Rob, when I make a point, you argue something differently. Having Paul George would have made them better. I never said they didn't need him. I never said they were a championship team without him. I said they were still a good team. And you put Paul George in there, and they're even better. So now, if Paul George gets there, maybe I would. I don't know what I would have predicted, but maybe I would have predicted they beat Golden State. Maybe I would have predicted they go to the finals. So that's got nothing. Me predicting they were going to win 53 without Paul George has nothing to do with this argument, this debate. Paul George would have stepped in and made them better. And he would have been on a better team than he's on right now. He has no chance to win a championship with that team.
I don't know how
he
you would go. Have
had a chance. He would have had a chance with LeBron.
Three days ago, he was going to the Western Conference Finals.
Is that a championship?
No, but that's a chance.
That's my point.
That's a chance to win a championship. How can you say that's not a chance?
It's the same chance as every. That's
no,
like saying
it's
because
not.
You're in the
no,
NBA, you have a chance.
No, it's not. If they're in the Western Conference Finals, they could have upset
they
them.
They wouldn't
Somebody
have.
Somebody could have
no.
got hurt.
Nobody would have
had
that.
A chance. You can't make it
well,
that you
that
went
case,
from the Western Conference Finals to nothing.
Let's say a player from every team better than them would have got hurt.
That doesn't even make it. That makes no sense.
You don't follow good logic. You don't. When I make a statement, you argue something else. Me saying they would have got to the, they could have got to the conference finals. What was, is that saying they could have won a championship? No.
No, but you're saying he didn't have a chance. He
Philadelphia could get to the conference finals. I don't think they could win a championship.
But it doesn't mean that he didn't have a chance. It was just
everybody
funny.
In the NBA has a chance, if you want to define it that way.
All I know is
he would have been. You're telling me to answer this question, Rob. Is it better to play with Russell Westbrook or LeBron James?
Russell Westbrook, that's what he picked.
No,
because
I get
he'd rather
that.
Be there.
I get that
he doesn't want to be under the LeBron shadow
then
and
why,
the nonsense. That's
why,
what he doesn't want.
Then why did he sign off to play with LeBron in Cleveland if LeBron would have committed?
Because he changed his mind. He realized what's going on with LeBron in Hollywood.
Arguing
all of the
I
other
never
all
stated.
Of the other projects. I'm just saying that's
right,
why he decided not to come to his hometown and play with LeBron.
Your turn to weigh in. Since Rob just goes on tangents for my point.
I want you during the break to listen to Supertramp's The Logical Song.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And it's time for Broussard's Big Six.
Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Big Six.
All right, Dame Lillard. His matchup with Russell Westbrook. Lillard was so good. It got a brother to thinking, who are the best 6 point guards in the NBA right this moment? Right now. This season. Currently. All right.
Number six.
Chris Paul, CP3. Don't forget about him. Don't forget about him just because he's playing with the great James Harden.
Wow.
He edged out Kemba Walker in my list because CP3 is still, even though he's not quite what he used to be, still a great playmaker, averaging 8 assists, team high for the Rockets in like 32 minutes a game. CP3, still a baller, and you'll see it in the next round.
Number 5.
Russell Westbrook. That's right. The great triple-double guy has fallen. He is now the 5th best point guard in the world. Gotta drop him because, as Eddie House just told him, time and score. You're up like 7 with 2 minutes left. You're up double figures a few minutes before that, and they're coming down taking quick shots. At one point, Russell took a contested layup and charged, had an offensive foul. In 9 seconds into the shot clock, in the last 2 minutes. No, you got to milk the clock. That's what a point guard's job is to do. No time and score, no pace of play, when to slow it down, when to speed it up. That's why I got Russ at number 5.
Number 4.
Kyrie Irving. Yes, Kyrie Irving, the best ball handler in NBA history. Probably the most clutch performer on this list. The clutchest point guard in the league. Just a great all-around player. The problem with Kyrie, at least this year, was he struggled in the leadership role. And if he improves on that, he could move up on the list.
Number 3.
Dame Dollar. Damian Lillard. Yes, he has leapfrogged Westbrook and Kyrie Irving to become the 3rd best point guard on the planet. He is clutch. I would only take Kyrie over him in the clutch, and I'm telling you, it's close. I might switch that up and take Dame in short order. Hit this tremendous shot last night. 37 feet was not a bad shot, even though Paul George said it was just because it was in his grill.
Number 2.
Look, they don't think he's a point guard. And in my all-time rankings, I will put him at the 2. But the fact is, he is playing the point right now. It's James Harden. You can't deny it. He's a point guard right now. All right? He's handling the ball. His usage rate is higher than anybody else's. When Chris Paul is in there with him, for the most part, Paul is off the ball. It's Harden bringing it up. We know the deal. He's unstoppable. Best step back in the game. Can't stop him from getting to the rim. Gets to the foul line more than anybody else. The great James Harden.
number one.
You know who it is. This brother changed the game. He is the third best point guard of all time, behind only Magic Johnson and Oscar Robertson. One of a handful of people that has actually changed basketball. None other than the greatest shooter in NBA history, Steph Curry. He is the engine behind what is going on in Golden State. He's the key. And if you don't believe me, check this out. With Steph Curry on the floor this year, the Warriors, the great Warriors, arguably the greatest team in history, was 51-18. With Steph Curry on the sidelines, not playing in street clothes, they were 6-7. A losing record when Steph doesn't step on the floor. I love KD. I know how great he is. But Steph Curry is the most important player on that team. I had an assistant coach tell me the other day, Steph is the guy that when he steps off the court, you go, shoo, whoo, glad he's off. So Steph Curry, the greatest point guard in the world. To recap, number 6, Chris Paul. 5, Russell Westbrook. 4, Kyrie Irving. 3, Damian Lillard. 2, James Harden. 1, Steph Curry. What you think, Mr. Parker?
No, I'm not buying that. James Harden, I would take over Steph Curry.
Put Steph Curry and James in Mike D'Antoni's offense, he'd be at least just as good.
You
got to
play with offense you're in.
And you're right. And I love the offense.
And you know what?
He's only winning championships.
That's fine.
That's all.
But all I know is Kevin Durant took his team from him when he got there.
No, he didn't take nothing
from
him.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
I'm still waiting for Steph Curry to win a finals MVP.
Who cares about the finals MVP?
I do.
I mean, it's not that big of a deal.
If you're the greatest point guard, you're the greatest guy going, but he can't win that.
So when James Worthy won the finals MVP, did that mean Magic and Kareem weren't great?
Not at all.
When Joe Dumars won the finals MVP, did that mean Isaiah Thomas wasn't great?
It's just that they won 3 championships and he has none.
With Cornbread Maxwell.
And he was also the author of losing a 3-1 advantage in the NBA finals.
So
first time it's ever happened.
In the conference finals.
It happened under his watch, this great point guard. That's all.
Stop it. Why are you hating?
I don't care. I can't help it.
Why are you hating?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
But move on to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant had a lot to say recently, and he had a lot to say about the media and how they treat him, how they cover him, and his thoughts on the media going forward. Let's hear it from Rob G. You're going to read some of the quotes that KD had.
This was KD talking to NBC Sports Bay Area. He said, quote, "The media needs me. If I wasn't a free agent, none of this S would go on, right? None of this speculation about who I am, what's wrong with my mental, why I'm miserable, why I ain't happy with life, nothing." And then he continued, and he was asked what he thought about the Uninterrupted, the Players Tribune, and athletes taking more control of their narrative. Here's what he said. "I think a lot of media companies are sad about that, which is causing a strain between the players and the media, because obviously they all want to keep their jobs. They want to tell their stories, but the players are telling it better." End quote.
Have you ever heard of Pravda? Oh, I'm sorry. Isn't that the Russian newspaper where they basically... Come on, man. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Pravda.
Yeah, go ahead and share. I'll let you go first.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
He could not be more wrong. I'm serious. And guys think the Players Tribune, when they write a story that paints a player in a bad light or real light, and I'm talking about not a made-up story, but paints a player in real light, then I'll buy into it, okay? You can say whatever you want. It's the same thing. You don't understand what it is that we do. People go to journalism school. Let's say no. I'm not talking about bloggers and guys on their mother's couch in the basement, Chris. You know what I'm talking about. You went to journalism school. You got a degree. You worked at the New York Times. I worked at big papers, the Daily News, the Free Press, the Detroit News, newspapers. And there's journalists who do this for a living. Even fans don't want to be spoon-fed their favorite ice cream from the team that they like. And nothing bad ever happens, and the coach is horrible, but you'll never read a story on the website pointing out that he made a mistake at the end of the game or anything.
Right.
Who wants to read that?
what you're saying is people want objectivity.
They do.
Look, I think what LeBron James is doing, what Kevin Durant is doing, what the Players Tribune is doing, all that's great. Like, I do think it enhances the environment or the media environment when you got LeBron getting other athletes on the shop. You've got KD, you know, writing an article, even breaking, you know, where he's going as a free agent in the Players Tribune. All that's fine. But that's just one aspect, one small aspect of media coverage, of journalism. There's the other aspect that is critical to our democracy, which is a free press. The reason we want a free press is so the free press can tell they're not beholden to anybody.
And remember
this.
They're
not beholden to that player, to that team, so they theoretically will tell the truth.
Right, and Chris, the
and a player's not going to do, a player, I'm not saying he's not telling some truth, but he's always going to give his perspective. He's always going to put himself in a good light, as just about anybody would.
If you
and
write,
that's the difference.
If you write for the Oklahoma City Thunder team website, who's paying you, Chris?
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
All right, you're going to write that this team is garbage and they need to get rid of, you think that's up on the website? That
no.
This team is garbage and they need to get rid of Russell Westbrook tomorrow? You'll never read that on a team website. You'll never read it. That's my point. Is that's why fans don't go to those sites like people thought that they would.
And it's not just the negativity.
No, not it's not.
It's objectivity. Think about politics. What if, like, President Trump's in right now? What if there was no free press?
Right, and it's
and
just
he could just it's just whatever he wants out. He every day he's telling the story about himself.
It's called dictatorship,
right.
And a lot of
that's
people live under that.
That's in a lot of countries, right? They can't criticize the president or anything like that. And it's the same thing on a much lower level, of course, with these athletes. They don't want to be criticized. They don't want to be called out, as most people don't. But the media's job is to keep it real.
No doubt about it.
You think Russell Westbrook is going to say he might say I had a bad series, but he's going to analyze it like it needs to be analyzed?
Can I give you this right here? Who's the biggest star in the NBA on television?
Charles Barkley.
Is Charles Barkley everything's great?
Right.
Oh, wow,
the
NBA's the best. Here's a man who's right who represents the NBA on national television who'll say, this product is horrible, I can't watch, or that player is no good, or that doesn't work, or that coach had the wrong guy. That's
right.
Charles Barkley. Why is he popular?
Because
he's not a homer. He keeps it real.
Well, and to your point, Rob, the athletes that successfully or most successfully make the transition
yes.
from athlete to media are the ones who aren't beholden to a player, a coach, a team. Like, they just tell the truth.
You have to.
That's when it's bad. When you bring on, say, a coach, he just got fired, but he still wants to get back in the league, and he's just saying all the right stuff. Everything's good. No, never being critical, never calling out when mistakes are made because he wants to get another job. Or a player who's an ex-player who's afraid to criticize players or
because
say they did something wrong.
Because they still have friends in the league.
Right.
Or they have an agent who also works with the other guy. So, I can't really criticize this
right.
guy because that's my agent's guy. Do you know what? They're all interconnected. So that's why you're not getting the real story all the time. Not all of them. I'm just saying in most cases.
No, and that's the thing. Like, again, I don't know how all media members feel. I like what Durant and LeBron are doing.
No, there's nothing
wrong
with having
that. But don't ever think that's going to replace traditional media.
Not at all. People still want, I'm telling you, when you talk to fans, and you know what, Chris, I get this all the time too. People, like they'll say to me, man, keep telling it like it is. How many times have you heard that from people, right?
Right. That's
because
that's what they want.
They don't want you to. They want you to fudge something or just spoon feed them something when they know what I'm watching is garbage. This is garbage.
Yep.
And Chris Broussard is telling me what I'm watching is different.
Right. Right.
That's the guy I stopped listening to.
I see Rob G over
He's
there
ready
shaking
to go.
His
and
head.
Rob G, you could be one of those fans, and I get it.
Rob G's not a journalist.
No, he's
which
not.
Which is fine. That's just not a fact.
What we do. We're not journalism.
What's your view? You agree with Durant?
I agree with him to a point. Now, the biggest thing that you guys kept saying is objectivity of the media.
Right.
The problem with that is sports media is not about being objective anymore. It's about what's
some
your
of it's
opinion.
Not. Some of it's not.
There's
no
a reason.
Is Adrian Wojnarowski not about being objective?
Chris,
all he does is break news. All he does is break news.
That's fair.
There are a lot of people, right?
That is absolutely correct. But
okay.
Chris, you have also told me that there are instances where once that news is out there, nobody cares anymore who broke it. Nobody cares anymore that Woj had it first or Shams had it first.
That doesn't matter. Somebody has to break the news.
In the world we live in today, it's not necessarily about what news is out there. It's what's next. What do people think about it? What does it go from here? And the thing is, most of these athletes, and I get it, people like what we have at FS1, Fox Sports Radio, ESPN, the radio do over there, it's about opinions and how you feel about a certain topic, how you can use what you saw to shape your opinion. And so I understand why these guys are saying, hey, you're trying to speculate on my future. You're thinking what I post on Instagram and this video of me with the closed fist of Arthur the cartoon like LeBron James means something when I didn't say it meant anything. I didn't say that I'm not referencing to something that happened with my kids that day.
I get what you're saying, but what is your point? Like, you're right. There's hardcore journalism, which is about breaking news.
And there are beat guys who cover teams and stuff like that. We get that.
And then there are opinionists.
Yes.
And there have always been that. In the newspaper, it's called a beat writer
and a columnist.
Everybody knows. Rob has transitioned from being a beat writer to a columnist. It's just on radio and television versus in print. But the point is, how does that make Durant right about, like, he's implying that if players keep doing this, it's going to eliminate the need for traditional media.
And it won't
eliminate the need for hardcore journalists,
nor
will it eliminate the need for opinionists, because players are oftentimes tied to each other. When he was critical of LeBron and said he creates a toxic environment, and then he tried to put it on the media.
Well, he said that.
Stand by what you said. You said it.
Because if we said it, we would stand by
it.
And that's the difference. Guys, as soon as they get a little pushback, they all of a sudden are retreating.
Right.
No. The Skip Bayless retreat? The Shannon Sharpe retreat? Does Chris Broussard retreat? Do I retreat?
Only on bets is Chris Broussard retreat.
That's it. Right. I'm still waiting for my Jordan.
See, y'all always see,
but you know
there.
What?
But go ahead.
I agree with you that they're never going to replace the media entirely, just like I never think that podcasting and digital radio is going to replace regular radio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
As long as people got to drive in their car.
No,
they
I agree with you.
Something.
They're looking at different things, right?
But that's not even, I don't even think that's like apples and oranges.
No, but you're saying I don't think that it's ever going to replace the media, and I agree with you. But we cannot say that there are fans and a lot of fans who would much rather hear from the horse's mouth. I don't need to hear Chris Broussard and Rob Parker speculating about what Kevin Durant's going to do when he can tell me right now, you know what?
But he's
not
going to
tell you. That's the problem.
He's going to tell you one day on July 1st or 9th or whatever day he chooses, that one day. But what about the other 300 days?
He has said, okay, that's the free agency is a bad example. He has mentioned.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, that's a bad one. But he's mentioned he didn't like the way that Steve Kerr was saying that he should dominate the ball less. And that they should play Warriors basketball.
But who do you, you're wrong. Who did he say it to?
He said it to reporters.
Thank you.
Go say it to Steve Kerr.
He said it to reporters. Who reported it to the public? Reporters.
Right. That's what
media.
We do.
They are worse than Rob Parker. It goes hand in hand, but what my overall point is, I understand why you guys want to control the narrative as best they can.
No, I do too, and I've said I don't have a problem with it. My point is, it's a good addition. It's a great addition to what we normally do, to have LeBron every once in a while put out his own views, or Durant put out their own view, their own twist on the story, or just their honest feelings. That's a great addition.
When I read a behind the scenes where they're really real, you don't read that on the Tribune. You don't. They give you a nice puff piece to help promote whatever, and if they retire, whatever, that's fine. If they want to break it in the Players Tribune, that's fine. But I've broken many stories, so have you, where guys are willing to talk to us because we build a relationship. Yep. You get trust with people, and I'm telling you, go look. Fans overwhelmingly go to news gathering organizations, Chris, not to team websites.
Right. No,
that's
you're
a
totally
fact.
Right. All right, it's your turn to weigh in. 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Rob G stepped into the arena and got booted.
And you know what? He's bloodied.
We treated
he's beat
you worse
up.
Than anybody that's been on the hot seat yet, including intern Maya.
Hey, Maya.
She did way better
sit
than
in the
you.
Producer's chair for the rest of the show because Rob G is done.
He's embarrassed. Look at him over there like, dang, I blew my chance.
There you go.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, Rob, we're going to stick with the NBA because it's all about the NBA at this time of the year. Damian Lillard he's on everybody's mind. He's on the tip of everybody's tongue. He's on everybody's lips. It's all about Damian Lillard today because he took on two players. All of them are stars. He's a star. Paul George and Russell Westbrook are stars. But let's face it, going into this series, Rob, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, going into this series, Russell Westbrook and Paul George were rated higher than Damian Lillard. Am I wrong?
No, you're not.
Okay. So he took on two stars who are rated higher than him, held in higher esteem, viewed to be better than him, and he outplayed both of them. He crushed Westbrook throughout the series to the point where Westbrook was getting switched off of him. They had Dennis Schroeder guarding him. And according to Chris Haynes, who wrote a great story in Yahoo.com, also our FS1 NBA analyst partner, he said that Dame was talking trash to Westbrook. Like, why are you switching off me during the game? Come on, stay on me. Because he kept guarding Westbrook. And then on the last play of the game, the last play of the series, Paul George, one of the greatest perimeter defenders in the NBA, I'm sure got some votes for Defensive Player of the Year. Probably will be a first-team all-league defender. He is locked in on Dame Lillard. And Lillard pulls up in his eye and drills a 37-foot jumper. A 37-foot rhythm J in his eye to win the series. It was a tremendous shot. It was one of the most – it was the most clutch shot we've seen of the postseason without question.
Can we hear how it sounded first?
That's in the front court. 10 seconds. Lillard now out front against George. 5 seconds. George backing up. Lillard doesn't want to pick. Dame going for the win. A three-pointer for the game. Yeah!
And then pandemonium.
That's the Blazer Radio Network. And you know what? The announcer was horrible on that call. You know why?
What?
Because what he missed out is he didn't say, that wasn't clutch. That wasn't clutch.
What?
It was a great make, that but wasn't it wasn't clutch.
Wait. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. That shot last night by Damian Lillard, the OKC Portland game, right?
Yeah, I watched
the 37-footer, right?
Yeah, I watched
it. To seal the series, right?
Yes, I watched it.
That, are you saying that was not clutch?
No, it's not clutch. You know why? The score was tied. There was no skin off of his apple. If he missed it, they would have gone to overtime. And it doesn't mean it's not a great make. It's a great make, Chris. Wow.
Do you really believe what you're saying?
No doubt. It's a great make, and I'm not taking anything away from
you
him.
You are!
No, I'm not. But when you talk about a clutch shot, as a guy who's covered the NBA since 1987, Ray Allen's three-pointer was clutch. the series was going to be over and LeBron and company were going to lose. That's a clutch shot. They were down and Ray Allen saved his bacon. When Jordan beat the Cleveland Cavaliers to win the series game five and they're down and he makes the shot to win it, that's clutch.
Let me ask, what's the greatest shot in NBA history?
Might have been Ray Allen's.
If not that, then what?
Michael Jordan's.
Michael Jordan shot against the Cavs?
That was a great shot to
first
win a
round?
Series. Yeah, but it's to win a
you,
series.
What I thought you were going to say was Kyrie Irving shot to
no, the score was
beat
tied.
Golden State.
That wasn't clutch either.
You're going to sit here
that
and tell me
clutch.
Jordan shot in the first round to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers was better than Kyrie Irving's three-pointer?
Absolutely.
To give Cleveland his first title in 52 years and dethrone a team that had won 73 games? Are you serious right
absolutely,
now?
Absolutely, because if Kyrie missed that, the game wasn't lost. It's just like last year. The game wouldn't have been lost, and that's the point. I'm not saying it's not a great make, but Chris, there's no pressure.
There
isn't, because you can't lose. How could there be pressure if you can't lose?
You could go into overtime
no,
and lose the game.
I'm talking about at that moment. You know how many guys get caught up in the moment when it really matters and you got to make a big shot, and then they start to think, oh, my God, I don't want to be the GOAT. Those are the guys. That's why a lot of guys pass up those shots or give it to somebody else because they don't want it. If the score's tied, I can't be a loser. I can't be the GOAT. I can't be the GOAT because we're going to overtime. We can still win.
Can't do it.
It doesn't mean it's not a great make. It's just not clutch. That's all. When I look at clutch, Ray Allen's shot was clutch. Oh, my God. They're down.
By your definition, to some degree, it's not the exact same thing, but that's almost like saying, you know, if I'm not the star – if I'm not the superstar and I miss a shot, who's going to kill me? I'm just a role player.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I mean, if Ray Allen, hold on, Rob. If Ray Allen missed that shot, nobody would be killing Ray Allen.
It's not that
you're
they,
not expected to make
no,
that that's shot.
No. But it's clutch to be able to make that shot when your team is down and out and is about to be eliminated. That's a clutch shot to be able to make it with so much on the line. And
there
when
was a lot on the line last
no,
night.
It wasn't.
There was
the
nothing
was
on
not,
the line when Kyrie Irving comes back from 3-1
no,
and hits
no,
that three.
No, because that doesn't mean the game would have been over. And the same thing last night for Damian Lillard. If he doesn't make the shot, they're going to overtime. I'm not saying it ain't a great make, Chris. It's a great make. It really is. It just ain't clutch. My definition of clutch is when you're in dire straits and you need to pull off something that people, in order to keep your team alive or to win a game in a big spot, that's clutch. I don't think that was a clutch shot last night.
I'll give you is this, that if you're trailing rather than tied, there's more pressure.
All right, so
it's a bigger shot. No question. I'll give you that.
Okay.
It's definitely a bigger shot. But I wouldn't say that just because you're tied, it's not clutch. It's still a difficult shot at the end of the game to win the game.
There we go. I got the adjective for clutch in the dictionary. What is this?
You mean the definition of clutch?
Yes.
What does it say?
Okay, here it is. It says, quote, in sport, denoting or occurring in a critical situation in which the outcome of the game or competition is at stake. And it wasn't at stake with the score tied, and that's
if
why.
If it wasn't at stake,
that's
he couldn't
why
have
clutch.
Won it. No, you can't win it if it's not at stake.
No, it wasn't at stake.
Because if he misses, the game continues.
No, it wasn't at stake.
Was that game last night at stake? I'll give you that it means more. It's higher pressure, more clutch.
It's just clutch. It's just clutch.
Or if it's not tied, if you're trailing. But to say it's not clutch, because the game was at stake. If he misses that shot,
the game
they go
goes
into
on.
Overtime, and then you might lose.
But
it's
you
still
might win.
At stake.
But you still could win, though. It didn't mean you lost, and that's why. Hey, Rob G, where are you on this?
I'm with, like, I think most of America is Chris Broussard on this one.
What?
That was a clutch bucket,
Alex,
by Dame Lillard.
I get right now. I get what he's saying. I will give you that, Rob. That if you're trailing, it's even bigger, even more clutch, even more pressure. But to say that wasn't clutch,
Alex.
I'm kind of with you on this, Rob. It wasn't clutch at all. He was feeling himself. He was in the mood. He just said, you know what? Might as well send them home on something that looks good.
But he
took the chance.
Alex is a vegan.
So that makes me less credible in my sports takes?
Hey,
yeah, you're probably right.
Mr. Gascon.
That shot is cold-blooded. But it's not clutch.
Yes!
Oh, come on!
It's not clutch!
I expected from you, Gascon.
He's got no pressure. If he misses that shot, they head to overtime.
Yes.
They're up in the series 3-1.
Right! They're not down 3-1 and they're going to be eliminated.
Right,
they're up 3-1. It's
right.
Not clutch.
At home?
Maya, it's on you. Oh, it's right on
you. I got one
you.
Word for you guys. Clutch!
Yeah, boy! Look at you!
Maybe she meant
That's
clutch
what
sports.
I'm talking about. Hey, Maya, aren't you in your intern up? Oh, shouldn't you be leaving? Not yet.
Bye, Felicia.
That was all right, let me go here. Paul George said after the game, it was a bad shot. Can we at least agree on it? It was not, my opinion, quickly, was not a bad shot. Damian Lillard was 5-for-5 in the series on 35-footers or more. He was 8-for-12 on 30-footers or more. If you're Paul George, you have to know that. You have to get up in his chest because he will pull it from 37 feet. And he did, and it cost you. That was not a bad shot. He practices those shots. He's one of the greatest jump shooters in the league. That shot now is becoming commonplace. Steph throws him up from there. Trae Young throws him up from there. It's not a bad shot.
I wouldn't say, a bad shot, not when you're in that situation to put it up and the clock is ticking down. So I wouldn't call that a bad shot.
So if they were down, though, if they were trailing.
He would have tried to get a little bit closer, a little bit better
of a
shot.
I don't know. He had time. He dribbled for like 10 seconds.
Well, I would have rather him tried to get a little closer. But I'm telling you,
he's Dame Dollar.
Most people will agree with me on this. It's a great make. I'm not poo-pooing what he did.
You're poo-pooing it.
I'm not backing up.
Don't be Donovan McNabb.
No, I don't do that. You know I don't back up at all. All I know is clutch to me would be down, and you come up with a big score when it matters the most.